Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes political economics, and he turned his attention to French President Emmanuel Macron in his second term, making another speech, and this speech had merit to it, to read the quote that Joe provides. "We are overregulating and underinvesting," he told an audience in Berlin about the European Union. "In the 2 or 3 years to come, if we follow our classical agenda, we will be out of the market." He went on to say, "The EU could die." Joe, a very good day to you. I've read your column, and now I see the pattern here. I didn't initially. For years, I've been listening to Macron make alarming remarks. Who listens to this, and what's he doing, Joe? Good evening to you.
Hey, John, good question. Both of those, actually, both the issue of who's listening to it and what is Macron trying to accomplish here, because, if you just look at what he was saying at this appearance in Berlin, it sounds, you know, fantastic, especially for those of us of a more free market disposition. You would think, yes, finally, a European leader understands what their problem is, that they need to unshackle their entrepreneurs, deregulate the economy, cut taxes, stir more private enterprise and entrepreneurship and innovation and investment, and they can have a booming economy. And the problem is that that does not seem to be what Emmanuel Macron has in mind if you look at his actual track record. Because part of that track record is actually giving speeches about how the European Union is going to die if it doesn't reform itself. He's been doing this at least since 2017, and yet there's almost never any action about that. And so I think that really this is an example of the strange phenomenon where European mainstream politicians have figured out that voters are unhappy with the direction the economy is headed. They have figured out that voters are unhappy that the politicians don't seem to have any new ideas. And they understand that they need to give these big speeches about how things are going to change. And now they're just hoping that no one is going to ask what the change should be.
Mr. Macron has made remarks recently about geopolitics as well, something about embargoing arms to Israel about Gaza. And I started looking around at other remarks he's made about the European Union having its own army, or about Le Pen and what's going to happen when Le Pen's president of France. He speaks in these elevated forms of "we're all going to die." Do people laugh at him, Joe? Can you tell?
I'm not sure people laugh at him so much as it's just hard to tell sometimes who actually takes all of this seriously, because so the ambition to have some kind of European army is not actually crazy. In fact, maybe America should encourage that, because we want our European allies to invest more in their militaries, for example. But then you start asking, well, if Macron were serious about that kind of goal, what would he have to do to achieve it? Europe would need stronger economic growth so that it would have the resources available to pour into investment in the military. And it would need to be able to develop an industrial base that could supply that military. And that means that you have to have new investments in those companies. You have to make it easier to build factories. You have to liberalize the labor laws so that it's easier to hire people to work in them. I mean, you can just go down this laundry list of things, the practical steps that you have to take to fulfill any of these lofty ambitions. And the action is never there. And yeah, I was just talking about the military as an example. But you can say exactly the same thing about Macron's ambitions to have a more cohesive European Union economy, and some of his goals for that. Some of his goals for Europe to play a more prominent role on the global stage and be able to assert itself and its strategic sovereignty. Again, the shortage in Europe is not of grand ideas, and Macron produces more than his fair share of them. The shortage is either an understanding or a willingness of the specific practical steps, which are sometimes very unpopular politically, that you need to get through in order to be able to act on that grand ambition that you have.
I draw on my general understanding of how the EU works. And recently I did a report on Italy that is looking for 1% growth in 2025. And this was good news. And I reminded myself that the European Union, the major countries at least that I know about, they start with a base that we don't have here. They start with social services, a cradle-to-grave approach to their constituency. Always, you're always going to be paid for a job or looking for a job in Germany, for example, and healthcare, for example, and retirement facilities, for example, all of that. And that is a lot of their GDP. That's why 1% is to be celebrated. Is that the same in France that I read about in Italy?
It's worse, if anything, because the French state is a proportion of GDP. So sort of the amount of national resources that the state consumes and spends is above 50% in France. So the government is larger than all of the rest of the economy put together in France. It's one of the largest government spending to GDP shares in all of Europe. And that is representative of the problem that they have, because you can't really have a healthy growing economy with entrepreneurship and innovation and productivity growth if you have this enormous Leviathan that is sitting on top of it, kind of squashing everything. And France has not really been able to pull itself out of that. If anything, on Emmanuel Macron's watch, the problem has gotten worse as a result of a lot of the policies he brought in during the pandemic, which have never quite been reversed. And again, I think the important point to understand here is that this is not a new diagnosis. People like us at the Wall Street Journal have been pointing this out literally for decades. Europeans themselves have understood these problems. I think Emmanuel Macron probably understands the problem is. But I think that the European political class so far is proving incapable of doing anything about it. And so that leaves them in this position of making the big speeches that don't go anywhere.
You mentioned Mario Draghi. I know that he's revered in Italy. And also, because of his work at the European Central Bank, given great credibility when he makes recommendations. My memory is that he has recommendations for the EU to reform itself, at least to grow again. Have they been rejected? Is that old news now, because that was last year?
This is a perfect example of the problem. It wasn't even last year. It was just last month, I think, that Draghi came out with a major report that the European Union bureaucracy itself had commissioned from him about what needs to revive Europe's economy. And this document is hundreds of pages long. Mario Draghi is by far the most serious thinker, politician on the economy in Europe today. And it was a very detailed document that was very insightful. And the only thing that anyone paid attention to was the part of it where he suggested that as part of this much bigger reform agenda that he was proposing, maybe Europe should consider some targeted investment spending on infrastructure projects. So then everyone seizes on this line in the report where Mario Draghi says we need to spend billions and billions of euros each year more, and ignores the other 349 pages of it that detail all of the important economic reforms that need to be done alongside of that. And that represents the problem that they have, where there's a lot of now selective thinking because they are not short of diagnoses of what the problems are or insights about what they need to do to fix Europe's economy and really put it on a firmer footing. It's just that they don't want to do it.
I want to speak well of the European Union. It's too big to generalize, but I, in conversation about Germany, for example, with someone who lives in Berlin, Judy Dempsey of the Carnegie, the general criticism in Germany now is that the industry has been slow to innovate and slow to adapt to new opportunities. That would be the European Union's green mandates and also AI and all the other innovations that drive our economy, Silicon Valley. Is that something that's also true across Europe? Because this was specific to Germany, not being innovative. Is that true for the whole of the European Union, to your knowledge?
I think that it is a real problem in Europe. And it's a problem, again, that a lot of people over here understand Europe has, but people don't really know what they need to do about it. So, I mean, the complaint in Germany, for example, and also in France, is that so much of the innovation such as it exists is concentrated in the large companies, and they tend to be kind of lumbering and slow to adapt. But in America, most of our innovation happens in places like Silicon Valley, where you have the startups that are very productive, scrappy entrepreneurial firms that are bringing the new ideas and the new products to market and attracting the capital behind it. And that is where the innovation and the opportunities come from. And Europe doesn't have any of that because all the tax laws and the economic regulations and all of the rest of it, and even the political climate, are set up to be very hostile to that kind of economic activity. And again, people understand this. Mario Draghi understands this and writes quite a lot in that big report that people already are forgetting about what Europe would need to do to have its own Silicon Valley. What are things it would need to do in its capital markets and its product market regulations and its broader economic ecosystem so that Europe could have Silicon Valleys in France and Germany and Italy and Spain too. But, you know, until someone actually takes the time to read that report and do the things that Draghi recommends, it's not going to happen.
A former member of the European Union is where we're headed. Life in London. Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics about President Macron crying emergency, the sky is falling again, but we're headed to Keir Starmer and his first 100 days in London. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.